We're going to read these under I am secure. Those are the three areas where the enemy attacks: us being accepted, secure, and significant. The areas where we were already in place before the fall, and then it was out of place after the fall, and because of redemption in Jesus Christ, we're back in place. So we do have acceptance, we do have security, and we do have significance. So let's read these together. I renounce... Okay, do over. I renounce the lie that I am guilty, unprotected, alone, or abandoned. In Christ, I am secure, God says. I am free from condemnation. I am assured that all things work together for good. I am free from any condemning charges against me. Amen. Significant? Okay, let's read. I renounce the lie that I am worthless, inadequate, helpless, or hopeless. In Christ, I am significant. God says, I am the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I am a branch of the true vine, Jesus, a channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed by God to bear fruit. And it's amazing because we know the word is powerful, but when you're sitting there in a session and sometimes with couples and they don't even want to look at each other, it's just amazing how when they read the word out loud, it just changes the atmosphere. Yeah.
Tears come and because the Holy Spirit is the one that's leading and guiding into all truth. So that's the most powerful thing about this is it is God leading people. It is not us. We're just trying to help people get to God. That's it. And chapter 2 that we look at is called the whole gospel. Now, I was told the whole gospel was this, that Jesus came to die for my sins, and he came to give me life, and when I die, I get to go to heaven. Yeah. That's it. That was it. And so here's the deal. When Jesus came to die for my sin, Jesus came not only to die for my sin, but he also came to change me into someone that I'd never been before. So the complete gospel is, yes, Jesus came to die for my sin, but also he came to change me into someone that I've never been before. And when he changed me into someone that I've never been before, along with he dying for my sin, that's the entirety of the gospel. When you see yourself the way God sees you, when he dies for your sin, and when he gives you new life, a combination of those is the good news of Jesus Christ to give you life and life more abundantly. That's the essence of chapter 2. Of you learning the whole gospel. It's not just him dying for you, but it's him giving you new life.
Yeah.
It's not him just saying, okay, I came to take away your sins, but it's also I came to give you a brand new, you are a brand new creation. You're something that you never was before. As a matter of fact, you are, when you become a Christian, you are you're not the exact replica of Adam in the garden, but you have the same life that Adam and Eve had in the garden before they sinned against God. Not only that, but watch this. Jesus said this about the life that you have. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. The question is, why are you not living under the same authority and the same power that Jesus did when he was on this earth? I believe it's because we only know half the truth of the gospel. We don't know the fullness of what God has done for us when he came to give us life and life more abundantly. When I, listen to this, and I'm not saying this just to brag about myself. When I am under the power of the Holy Spirit, Satan can't touch me. I can touch him. I have authority over him, but he can't touch me. It's a beautiful thing. When I know the authority that I have, when you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know this tag that you have on you? Imagine this being the badge of authority that God gives you in the spirit realm when you become a Christian. Now watch this. This is what Satan does when he sees that badge of authority. It's not that he wants to submit. He has to submit. He doesn't want to submit to you no more than you want to submit to that police officer when you're speeding down the road. But when you see that light, when you see the police officer coming down the road, guess what you automatically do? You automatically ease up on them brakes. You know why you ease up on those brakes? Because you recognize authority that is higher than yours. And you don't want that ticket. Now watch this. When Satan sees you coming and you have the authority of the badge of God on you, he doesn't want to stop. He has to ease up. Why does he have to ease up? Because he recognizes you carry an authority that he can't stop. You have all of the Holy Spirit. You have all of heaven. You have all of God. You have all of the angels in heaven backing you because of the authority that you have in Christ. And some people don't recognize that authority. And when you don't recognize it, guess what Satan does? He will bully you to death. But when you recognize that authority, you know who you are. You know whose you are. Guess what happens? You can have the confidence to know that I can walk in the confidence of Jesus and I can walk in the things that he has told me to walk in because I have the authority of heaven behind me to make sure I do the things that he's called me to do on this earth. And the whole gospel, understanding the whole gospel is just that. You understanding who you are, whose you are. You just didn't come to get your sins forgiven, but you have come, he came to give you life, and you have your sins forgiven, and you have brand new life, and that brand new life guarantees you that you have the authority of heaven behind you when you walk according to the word of God. Now, when you walk in the flesh, you ain't got no authority. But when you walk in the spirit, you have all the authority that God has promised you to do the works that he's called you to do on this earth. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So the goodness is this. When you walk in chapter 2,
I was going to read.
Okay, go ahead.
On page 47, and when you get your book, you'll read all of this. But it says, understanding your identity in Christ is essential for living the Christian life. People cannot consistently behave in ways that are inconsistent with the way they perceive themselves. You don't change yourself by your perception. You change your perception of yourself by believing the truth. And that's why in those first two chapters is nothing but truth, nothing but scriptures. And then when you turn to page 51, there's tons more scripture on 51, 52, and 53 that just states who I am. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a child of God. I am part of the true vine. And I took those, because you can go online and you can print them, and I put them on my refrigerator because I like to eat. So I know I'm going to go in that refrigerator often, and then I'm reading them and reminding myself of who I am in Christ because I can't behave inconsistently with the truth of who I am.
Does that make sense? So that's the crux of chapter 2, is you understanding your identity and who you are, who he made you to be. And every child of God, whether you are just a newborn babe or a mature saint, guess what you have? You have the same authority that an older saint has because God calls you his child, and you have the same badge of authority that God has given you because you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? So, any questions anyone has, thoughts, comments?
It's really the whole, the doctrine of justification, sanctification, glorification, and boy, until I understood that, I was beating myself up all the time. Absolutely. Just that I was just a list of sins. But when I got that, when God revealed to me that when you are born again, that you not, and if you've taken Bruce's classes, there was a couple that just got a $12,000 debt here forgiven. I mean, all of a sudden they didn't have a debt anymore. Wow. But in Christ, we don't only get that slate clean, but we receive his righteousness. Yes. So we are 100% the righteousness of God. We get a new nature. We get a new declaration, righteous. I mean, we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, but for the rest of our life, we're putting off the old and putting on the new. The same. I mean, so yeah, it's powerful, you know, to just like it's who we are, and yeah, and when we realize that, then we don't beat ourselves up, and it's great.
And when you when you're taking people through this study, don't try to know the stuff that I'm teaching you. Don't try to do that. That's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to use your personality, because he's going to show you some things in the book too that you need to know for yourself to be able to function in your gifts. You know, God's given us this to function in our gifts, but he's given you gifts and talents to function in the way you should function as well. Does it make sense? Any more questions, comments, thoughts?
Okay, if you're with your spouse, grab their hands. If not, just think about your spouse being with you. Hold both hands together. And if you close your eyes for a second, we just want to speak life over you guys. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, because the Lord has anointed you to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." Lord, we thank you for every person that is in this room that is choosing to do just that, to bring freedom, to bind up the hearts, to speak life, to choose to give of themselves, to say no to something else, to say yes to you, to be available, to be used, to be your servant. Lord, I just pray a special blessing over them. I pray that you would meet every need that they have right now. Lord, I pray that their marriages will continue to be strong and that they will continue to fall on their knees before you as a couple and individuals to make sure that they're walking in the way that you have called them to walk. Lord, I thank you for accountability, that we all have each other, that we can be transparent and open and honest with each other. And I thank you for just this night and your spirit leading each one of us tonight and guiding us tonight and just being here and to be free in you, in our identity, to know that we truly are your children. We truly are your children and you are our Father. So thank you, God, for your provisions. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, eat some more. Crackers and cheese on the way out and grapes. And then we'll meet at 9 in the morning. Please have food in your bellies already. And then we'll, did I say 9 to 11? What did I say? We'll meet at 9. And then it says until 4:30. Did we say 4:30? What did we tell y'all? 4. Okay. And we will provide lunch. So 9 in the morning, food already in your belly. We'll teach, have lunch, teach some more, and we may get out before then. But I married a preacher, so if y'all want to pray that way tonight.
We'll be done by
early. Don't even say it, because you're going to have to repent.
Bless y'all. Have a good evening.